Sex Bob-omb, and we're here to make you think about death and get sad and stuff.
I hear the voices, animal voices, the tremble of cold, the feminine ambition, reaching my threshold, staring at the tree till I'm blind.
Sticky buns, where is the oven? Put the little kids in the oven and see what cooks. I don't know what the hell's going on, but I'm just going to keep reading this little book. Tonight's show, we have Stephen A. North on the show. How's it going, Stephen?
I am beautiful inside and out, Bill. How about you?
Every day I wake up and don't kick a panda is a good day. Because I like pandas. They can be nasty as heck. They are cute and cuddly looking, but if they really want to go at you, they will slice and dice and sometimes julienne.
And take your cookies.
I don't get to touch my cookies. Uh-uh.
All right. I'll roll with that.
Okay. So I understand, and that's only because I've known you for about 10 years now. 10? 11, something like that, from the good old days of the Library of the Living Dead. You write some zombie stories, don't you?
I sure do.
And what kind?
Well, I have started out with Dead Tide, and then there was... Barren Earth with Eric S. Brown might have come before Dead Tide Rising. So I had a more traditional zombie apocalypse with Dead Tide, where everything, like one book is only maybe a couple of days in that series. I think by the fourth book, only 3 or 4 weeks may have gone by. But Barren Earth was a sci-fi zombie mashup. I think that all of them are very quick-paced, and I actually have, after the first four Dead Tide books, I have a long short story called Undead in Vegas, and it's a little bit of an homage to Big Trouble in Little China and my own adventure I had in Vegas and what I pictured happening if...
Did it stay in Vegas?
Happened there. Oh, yeah, I stayed in Vegas.
No, did it stay in Vegas?
Oh. I don't think that was one thing that could be contained by Vegas.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think if that story continues that, yeah, it's all over.
Okay. Well, yeah. I am looking at the cover of the original release of Dead Tide. Mm-hmm. And if I am not mistaken, because I recognize the artwork on it, that's Dan's artwork, isn't it?
It's not only Dan's artwork, but that is Dan Galley.
I know. He's doing the zombie. I'm the dead guy. I'm the dead guy.
Nobody has ever brought that up before, but he is the art model there.
He did a couple of the covers for some of the library books where he's the artist and model.
He's quite the cosmopolitan man there.
Well, funny thing is the cover of my last book, he did the artwork as well, and it's his arm.
Excellent.
Yeah, I thought it was fun.
Of Dan.
Yeah, it's all good, man. It's all cool.
It's all a good thing. I pity anybody that doesn't know Dan Galley, to be honest with you.
Did you ever hear of a coffee called Deadly Grounds?
No, but...
He's one of the zombies in their commercial.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I was like, interesting.
Yeah, he really is the man of the world then.
Yeah, he's been around a few things.
On book covers, does them himself.
Does artwork, does some other stuff. He works in some audio video stuff. It's cool.
Manages to spend some time with us little people once in a while.
So, COVID has taken all the joy out of the world for the most part. Do you remember the good old days when we had conventions?
Yes.
That was some fun shit back then.
that was amazing. Just thinking of all those people, and some of them that are gone now, and some that are still here, but they're still gone. This Dr. Puss. And,
yeah. I think he's still alive, but I don't know what's going on with him.
Yeah.
But this and is the thing. Life evolves. And so do zombies.
Yes. Well, considering I myself was a member of The Walking Dead for about 22 years, and I came back, it's really ironic that I wrote a zombie book. So, to begin with, it's kind of...
And what faction of The Walking Dead were you?
I would be... Well, your traditional shambler, I guess, but no hope, you know.
Okay.
But writing books brought me back. My brother's, actually, on a somber note, my brother's ghost actually is what saved me and brought me back into the living. He and this might be useful for some people to think about, but if you are grieving somebody's death and you are hopeless and you don't have any, you can't find any joy because you lost somebody you really cared about, what you really need to think and consider is how disappointed that person that loved you, that's dead, would be to know you gave up on everything. And that was what happened to me. And it just took me like 12 years to realize how disappointed my brother would be to know that I gave up on everything for that long, including my writing. And it was realizing how much he loved me and how much he would want me to enjoy life that made me write my first book, Beneath the Mask. And that's how I met Dr. Puss, which I was writing Dead Tide with the intent to publish with Permuted Press at the time, and they weren't interested. They thought it was kind of a run-of-the-mill zombie story, but it turned out that, you know, Dr. Puss, Michael West, saw something there, and he asked me to, you know, for my book to be the first release for his company, Library of the Living Dead, and I'm so flattered to have been that choice for him, considering all the great books he published after that, you know. And anyway, it's I've been on a trip, and I truly apologize if I wrecked the tone of our talk here a little bit. I didn't mean to derail it, but
there is absolutely nothing against anything we want to talk on here, because I always say, the show is about whatever the hell I feel like talking about. And yeah. Depression is one of those things that comes up for everybody. So yeah. It's like the experiences sometimes show other elements for people. And it's like, that's cool. I actually had at the back of my mind at one time having an actual whole on show about depression and how to deal.
Oh, well, that's great. I just thought it was really important because so many people right now are depressed.
Maybe COVID will do that.
Yeah, I mean, my God. Try to have that perspective that, you know, we were not here forever. We have forever to be dead, but not to live. And as a former zombie, I feel I can speak with that with authority.
Excellent. On the speaking with authority, not the actual past.
Yes.
Yeah. And in the opposite vein, people are always amused and confused as to why the hell I'm always happy and cheery. It's like, well, what's the alternative? Be depressed and sad? I'd rather be happy and cheery.
Yes, you always have been an upbeat guy.
It mostly started as I'm a hyper individual and I don't like to sit still or stand still or be anywhere still, because being still means, hey, look, I can feel the universe. I don't want to feel the universe. I want to feel now.
Yeah, the universe, that's pretty weighty. You know.
So there are people in the chat room, just so you know. And EV just said, oh, it's just a sugar high. It's like, No, actually, I'm cutting down my sugar by a hell of a lot. I found out what the body is supposed to actually start taking sugar. And it's like, what? 39 grams? That's one can of Coke, man. That's not enough. I need more. I drink several pieces of Coke every day. So I'm cutting down. So it's not sugar. And Jack is sad because he can't get his machine to work properly. So he can't hear us. But if anybody in the chat room has a question for Steven, by all means, throw it in there and I'll throw it at him. There won't be any physical throwing because the internet. Just throwing that out there. Because that's what I do. So, what kind of zombies do you like normally? I mean, it's always the slow shamblers?
No. No, they definitely weren't with that book with Eric S. Brown. They were sprinters. There was different types of zombies in that one, actually, more than one type. I'm not pigeonholed into traditional zombies.
Excellent.
It just yes, we can't. We've got to keep an open mind, and you know what kind of stories might pop up in the future here. I certainly was that zombie movie. There's was two of them set in Britain where they ran. That was
28 days later and 28 months later. Yeah, yes,
boy, that's
they're supposed to come up with a third one.
Yeah, I'll be looking forward to that.
28 years later. Sorry, 28 months later. The last one was 28 weeks later.
Yeah, the one thing that bothered me and the reason that I kind of don't go too far into the future with the Dead Tide books is that in Florida with the heat, I really think that most of the zombies would rot into nothing within a few weeks, you know, and then you just would have whichever ones were turned later, you know.
Whoever still had with gooey their, bits still connected.
Yeah, if there was an existing virus still that lingered. So, you know, there's different. Yeah.
So there is a question in the chat room.
Okay.
And it was, how did your zombies come about? Plague, magical stuff?
Well, now do we want to, I guess I'll answer this, but I don't want to ruin it for anybody. But it was a military accident.
Trioxin!
Yeah, there is. It's an accident that's in a lab in South America, and it spreads all over. A secret lab, not, you know, nefarious government controlled project. I'd love to talk about it more, but I kind of hate to reveal how it happened and how it got to the United States. And
okay, so. Is it an important part of the story that when you're writing that you actually, I know some people are info dump and some people hate info dump. And then you have like the Walking Dead show where they don't actually ever describe how the thing happened even in the least bit. And then you have some shows and stories or whatever, they go into extreme detail. It was like, and it was all this.
I give you. You actually are there when it happens in a flashback scene it's funny. When I was writing the Dead Tide book, I had this one character in there and he basically assaults a cab driver named Graham in the book and steals his cab, leaves him laying in an alley and drives off and is never seen again. Well, that character appears again in the later books and you find out who he was and what the connection to the main story was. So I just love when that happens, when you don't, I mean, I myself had no idea who that guy was and why he beat him up. So I think the great thing about that type of story writing, and I'm not saying that mine is great, but just when that happens, it's just kind of a neat thing. 'Cause it's hard for people to predict something when the story evolves that way, because even I didn't know what you know, it was going to happen, so.
Yes, no, I agree 100%, because it's like a good story not only sucks you in, just like, hey, what the hell's going on? But at the same time, it's like, that character is like, what the hell? Where? Oh my God, I remember that. And it's like, boom, it's like, what? Okay.
Yeah, it's really cool. You'd think I would be annoyed when I've wrote myself into a corner and I cannot figure out how the character is going to live or what would happen next. And then if I write long enough, it happens. I just sit down and write my way through it.
So do you plot out the whole thing or do you pants it and take it by, hey, random, I'm going to do this. And it's like, oh, well, we're going to go left. Okay.
With an epic type story, the way that Dead Tide is, it was very hard to plot things out all the time. I pantsed a lot of it just because I was right there with the character and I didn't know what was going to happen next. I don't know if that sounds crazy or, but it's what happens. Now, when I write a short story, usually I'm more focused, and what's kind of bizarre is the last couple of years, I got the title of the short story without really knowing what the story's about first. You know, it's just kind of, I worked in retail for 35 years and a common phrase is purchase order. And one day, and I'm thinking about that and I applied it. Well, how does that apply to a short story set in the future? And I had the people are a commodity at that point. The earth's overpopulated and these corporations make a purchase order. You can pick what type of people you need. And if they're like a criminal, they actually might have had their mind wiped and they've been given a training in a certain field. So these people are readily available and they're good citizens, right? That aren't going to be rebellious or complain about long hours or so. Anyway, I that story, I had a lot of fun with purchase order.
And being a purchaser myself, I do understand purchase orders.
Yes,
it's what I do for a regular job.
Yeah, I know you had that background too, so I thought, why not bring that up?
Yes. So your explanation of that process is a little different from what I understand for a lot of people, is that the big stories are usually plotted out more, and then the smaller stories are usually just pantsed.
Yeah, I'm a little crazy in that regard, Bill.
Well, you know, it's a good way to go, right?
Yeah.
Oh, and somebody just asked, what was that movie with Sylvester Stallone and Wesley Snipes? And I have to answer that question because that's one of my favorite gosh darn movies of all time, Demolition Man.
Oh, yeah. That was a
wild Love that movie. It's got Sandra Bullock in it as well. Bunch of other people, too. Awesome movie.
Hmm.
But yeah, the whole idea of purchase orders on people is like, wait a second.
Yep.
I need 35 people with these skill sets. Bam, 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 bam. What are they going to do? I don't really care. They're going to go in that hole over there and find something.
Yes. Well, I'm going to get my girlfriend to grab me a Drifter book, and I'll just tell you briefly.
Uh-oh.
But if you want to talk about something else, but yeah, I haven't. Go ahead.
Oh, I can talk for hours. People who listen to my show know it's like I can keep going even by myself and just keep going. It's like, whoop, okay, there we go. Yeah. So do you prefer long stories or short stories to write?
I have fun with either one, but when I'm working, my job frequently leaves me a creative zero, and it's very hard to work on the longer works then. So it's easy to squeeze out a short story there for a while for me. I just, too much going on. And so I like both. It just depends on what I'm focusing on. But right now I probably have 5 novels in progress.
Cool.
It hasn't been the short story thing lately. Although I did just publish a whole bunch of them.
I was going to comment. I saw a couple of posts on your Facebook that said, hey, I didn't know you did a bunch of these little two-story combo thingies.
Yeah, it was. What was cool was at first they were just ebooks, so I had all these covers, and I'm like, I was going to do a collection of my stories, and I'm like, well, why the heck am I doing that when I've got all these covers? And some people like to have short reads for maybe their lunch hour or something. So I just did a little experiment, and my girlfriend was a big help with that. And also another lady that did the book covers. She was wonderful help. Her name's Alicia McGinnis. So if anybody really liked those covers and would like to contact her, just get a hold of me and I'll put you in touch with her. And she loves doing book covers.
So one of the things I've noticed about the horror community, and mostly in general, because that's pretty much the community I hang with most of the time, everybody tries to be helpful, supportive. And that what you just did right now is you shouted out to a couple of people who've done work with you and helped with you. I think that's cool. It's one of the things that's always drawn me into the community itself as a whole. That is like, you're having a bad day. Somebody will say, hey, I can help you with that. What do you need? And somebody else, on the other hand, might be less like that.
I don't know. I just got distracted. I'm sorry. But what one thing I can back that up with was the moment I got to that convention, the first time I met you,
yep,
you among maybe 20 or 30 other people, I felt instantly accepted. And here I've just had one self-published book and one traditionally published book at that point. I'd never been to a convention. And so many of these people just reached out to me. They treated me like I was part of it, you know? And I just, thank you, dear. I was so blown away by that. But most of the people that I've met and talked to over the years that are in the book publishing or writers or cover makers or editors, they're just, I've really just been truly amazed how much of a class act most all of them are. And you were definitely one of those people, Bill. I'm just going to go ahead and throw that out there, even though I know you're not looking for compliments.
Woo-hoo! I'm the guy that walks into anything and is like, hey, how's it going? And I just go with it. I don't care. I'm here for an adventure. Whether it's going to be a positive one or a negative one, I don't care. I'm going to learn something. I'm going to see things. It's like, I'm going to move. It's like, whoa, you're bad people. You can stay over there. You're good people. I'm coming over to see you guys.
Yeah. Do you know I had one B-level sci-fi author? That's what most people will label him as. To me, he was as good as Asimov, or just different, you know.
I know he was prolific.
Yeah, this person I'm talking about, I was like 17 years old. I bought one of his books. It was like from the 50s. And it said he was building a house in Brooksville, Florida. And this is like the 80s. And I don't know where I got the, I'll use the word chutzpah, to call this guy. But I called information, asked, do you have Keith Laumer, a listing?
I know that name.
You know that name. He's wrote some great books.
I've got a couple of his books.
Do you know he spoke with me for like 2 hours?
Nice.
Totally treated me. I'm just a kid, right? And he wanted to read my stuff, and he invited me to, and I never went. And then he died. And I just blew it, you know? And it's one of those things that eats at me. I guess I shared it because if there's somebody that offers to help you, you know, don't pass up that chance. You know, you never know. It might totally change your life.
It might not, but it might.
It might not, but it was my first experience with a real author talking to one, and it was wonderful. So,
Well, as the expression goes, you can never succeed if you don't try.
Right.
But you can always fail by not trying at all.
Yes.
Yeah, and there's variations on that theme as well. I don't care what they are. It's all the same thing. But the bottom line, that's what it works out to. Mm-hmm. So yeah, every once in a while, people ask me, what kind of advice do you have for being as a writer or something or whatever or whatever? And it's like, well, I think the most important thing is to make friends. Not sycophants, but friends. It's like talk to people, engage with people, share good, bad things from yourself, find out good and bad things from other people. Be a friend. And I think that's the most important thing you can do in any genre, any culture, any environment, community whatsoever.
I agree. You start networking with people, and you never know what might come from that. And it might just be that you just made a great friend. It may not mean that you gained in your writing career or your, if you're just a reader, you know, I mean, you make these connections. You just never know what's going to come from it. Like, for instance, I never knew I'd be talking on an internet show with my friend.
10 years ago, I never knew I would be doing this.
Yes. To see where all the twists and turns that life has taken you on.
I mean, yeah, it's like you connect with somebody. It's like, hey, do you want to do a voice for something? It's like, what? Okay. Sure. I can try that. And then it's like, oh, okay, so you want to be on the show every once in a while? Sure. Hey, do you want to do your own show? Okay, what the hell? Why not? Somebody has asked me what kind of cookies I should be eating, and I'm going to say one thing. Almost all cookies are great, but those with raisins, no. Big hard no.
Well, you think they're chocolate chips if you don't look too close.
And it's no, I know they're not chocolate chips.
It's very disappointing if you're fooled.
Once when I was really young, somebody told me they were dead flies. And I was like, what? Which, in general, dead flies are not a bad thing to me, as long as they're ooey. But dead flies, man. It was just dead flies. Raisins are dead flies.
Right. Well, it's very disappointing to not have the chocolate chip.
Chocolate chip is awesome, but the best cookie that you can buy in a package, in my mind, is called Fudgios. And you may remember, I did bring those to me. I did bring those down to the convention there at, what was it, Pennsylvania? Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Was it Pennsylvania? I think it was Pennsylvania.
Yeah, it was Pittsburgh.
I can't remember.
Yeah, Pittsburgh, yes, sir.
Pittsburgh, there we go. Home of the Night of the Living Dead.
Yeah, we were at the Monroeville Mall.
And I missed the mall, but I did go to the cemetery.
So you were the next year. Okay.
Yeah, I went to the cemetery.
Yeah. Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, I didn't go. I was in the mall talking to Robin Rodwell for a while. And
cool.
Drinking with Bowie Ibarra and Travis. He changed his Mata now.
Yes. They're all on Facebook.
I was hanging out with a lot of those people. Tim Long. And
we had...
I met you with Doc and...
We had a after party thing upstairs in one of the guys' hotel rooms. And do you remember the guy in what the hell was it? Which one it was? One of the Dawn of the Dead movies. The guy who drove the helicopter?
Oh yeah,
yeah. He came up and joined us.
Yeah, it was great.
That was funny.
I've run into him like 4 times over the years. He always remembers me. I don't think he remembers my name, but he's a pretty funny guy.
You're a big guy. You stand out in the crowd.
Yeah, he's a little taller than me, though.
He's tall. That's true.
Yeah. And
he does like his booze.
Yes.
That was the only thing we had to make sure we had at least one drink up there for him. And he's like, yeah, okay, he comes up.
Yeah, he's
there. Okay. But yeah, we had like 40 people in that room at one point. And it's like, how the hell do we get all these people in this room? It's like, I'm just going to stay over here because I can't get around them all. Yeah, I think we unscrewed the beds and put them up against the wall as well. So it's like, okay, yeah, we have space to move around.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was wild.
It was. You got introduced, for never having been at a convention, that was one of the best kinds to get to, because when they're smaller, like about 2,000-3,000 people getting into the actual event itself,
mm-hmm.
it's a lot more intimate. It's people can talk to people, you can engage with people, you can have a full-on discussion about stuff, and you can actually just enjoy being around people. There's one that happens up here in Toronto called Fan Expo. It's similar to the idea of San Diego Comic-Con, New York Comic-Con, and a handful of other ones where it's like hundreds of thousands of people. You don't really get to spend too much quality interaction time.
No.
But yeah, like I said, the Horror Realm was a great convention for what it was. I think they had to close up shop and just go to a virtual a couple years ago. But it was the idea and the everything behind it was awesome.
Yeah. I am so sad if we don't go get back to a point where we can have them. Because we'll have conventions again. This year I was actually going to be able to go to a bunch of them. But
You didn't say the Met. Sorry, I'm doing a quote from Jurassic Park right now.
Oh, well, please proceed.
Well, I can't remember the rest of it. That was just the whole thing. Nah, you didn't say the magic word. Nah, it's the guy on the screen who's like, okay, we'll sabotage everybody on stuff.
Well, you can try to derail me if you want to, Bill.
I can easily derail everyone. It's easy. I have squirrel foo.
Yeah.
So there's a horror movie called Squirrels. It's actually not a real movie. It's just a commercial. It's a fake commercial. Cool as hell. You should check it out. So I've been accused of having this line that I say every once in a while. I was like, I've got a movie for you. I've got so many movies for everyone. But only if they like horror or science fiction or swords and sorcery.
So there is a caveat.
Well, I can always find a movie that somebody will like. I don't care how locked into whatever hierarchical type of thinking system that they wish to work with. I can find something.
Mm-hmm.
I watch weird-ass movies.
Yeah, me too.
Excellent. What's the weirdest movie you've watched in a while?
Boy. Wasn't ready for that question.
I do not have standard questions, man. I do all of this stuff off the cuff. The only text file I have is usually, hey, he's written some books. Here's a couple of titles. And that's about it.
Well, I guess I'll just say the weirdest one that pops into my head, but not, it wasn't recent. But I actually didn't get Monty Python and the Holy Grail the first time I saw it.
Okay.
I had to watch it the second time, and then everything clicked. And I was, this is great, you know, then. But it was funny how I didn't get it the first time around.
Well, a lot of British humor doesn't work for most Americans first time round and a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
It's just the comedy styles are different for different cultural environments. If you watch some Asian humor movies, it's like, you're going to be like, what the actual fluff?
Yeah. Well, I tried to watch some of these anime movies, and the one that my friend convinced me to watch was called Cowboy Bebop. And I didn't make it through the whole series. I watched a few of them. So okay. I failed to grow there.
Ninja Scrolls? It's just a movie.
Okay.
It's violent as hell.
Well, you know, you and I are into that.
It's bloody, it's gutty, it's gory. It's like, oh. By the way, chat room, EV says she likes Cowboy Bebop.
Ah, well.
She thinks it's the best.
And at the time, maybe I didn't give it enough chance, so I will go back.
It's...
Just for Evie.
If you
did I say her name right? I hope.
Well, Evie is an abbreviation of her initials in the chat room name that she used. Empathetic voice.
Empathetic voice is another one you recommend?
No, that's her login. That's her login.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
That's why I always just call her Evie.
I had a blonde moment, Bill. It just
It's
happened.
Okay. You do have a blonde head.
Everyone knows.
You're allowed. I will give you a What the Fluff movie choice, okay? Here's the one. Robo Geisha.
No, I have not seen that.
Thanks Killing.
No.
Velocipastor.
No.
Killer Sofa.
I think we're going to fail on every one of these.
No, that's okay. You have to watch all of these movies. They are hilarious. They are inappropriate and wrong, but they are hilarious.
Well, that's good, because I'm going to be out of work for a while, actually, and I'm going to probably need things to watch. So,
well, all you have to do is go to my
list from you later.
You go to my Facebook page, and you can see all the movies that I suggest.
Oh, great.
And yes, as I said, I have watched literally thousands of weird-ass movies. Because in that vein, every year, because I've been doing a bit of a research project for the last little while, over the last two decades, there is about 1,000 horror movies released every year.
That's incredible.
I hear about 100 of them or 200 of them. I was like, what the hell are these rest of these? I never heard of these. What the? Yeah. And I have to find them. It's fun.
Yes.
So what big projects do you have coming out?
Oh, well, I have one called The Blue and the Gray, and that's a sci-fi, far future, apocalyptic type story. And I have another one called My Skin Keeps Me In.
I like that title.
Mm-hmm. And that one's kind of a sci-fi fantasy blend story. So those are two of the ones I've been working on more often lately. Let's see. That title I kind of didn't want to tell anybody because I was afraid somebody would steal it.
Nobody will steal it.
But you know, it's funny. Both of those stories are ones that I just had the title. I didn't. It's like this one that I wrote, Down in the Gutter Like Me. I just had a title and then I started getting ideas for it.
But, I can actually relate to that.
Yeah. I've got another one called Third Shift Hive City PD. And that's a
That sounds like an anime.
I would love it if it was.
Some kind of high-tech sci-fi?
Yeah, and a lot of these are related to that sci-fi book I wrote called The Drifter. It's all set in that same world, not world per se, but the same milieu, or I don't even know if I said that word right. But
that's close enough.
But, you know, with different characters and different situations. And then I have a horror story that I'm not quite sure how long it's going to be yet, because this one is definitely a seat-of-the-pants story, even though it is based on true... The bones of it is in a true-life thing that happened to me, and it's called Roadside Assistance. And if you can just...
Oh, I've been through that horror story! Yes, I need assistance! No, yes. You can't, because you're in the middle of nowhere! Oh, darn.
Out of nowhere, and it's a creep that comes to help you out.
Ooh.
Yes. So I got at this point, it's got a small family, a daughter, a father, a mother, and the father and the mother don't like each other very much.
like some real families.
Yes. And they break down right near Lake Panasoffkee in Florida on a rainy night and are waiting for the roadside assistance to come help them out.
Fun. So I'm getting a bit of a theme in some of your stories when I've read some stuff from that point and this and whatever. Do you use real places you've been?
Absolutely. And if I haven't been there, I will try to see what I can find out from like Google Earth or I'm not afraid to just use that and just make it how I want anyway. But like Undead in Vegas is an example of one where even though I've been to Vegas, I had to use it some just to make sure I got things right. Of course, the Dead Tide books are all like, even though I'm a native of St. Petersburg, and there's Pinellas Park and Tampa in there, and people that live here recognize a lot of what I wrote in there. You know,
cool.
Yeah, I've got one of the major characters running right past my high school being chased by zombies at one point.
Yeah!
That was pretty fun.
Well, that's always a cool thing, especially when it's a place where you identify with, that you see, it's like, wow, I know that place. I see it in movies every once in a while because they make a lot of movies up here. It's like, what? Wait, oh. Okay, have you seen the show The Boys?
No, but I want to.
Okay.
I've heard a lot of wonderful about that.
Great show. I'm not going to spoil nothing or tell you anything. But that whole show is pretty much mostly filmed up here in Toronto and then in some other areas north of here and around. Ah. But there's the one building that they use to represent the corporate headquarters of the one company there. And it's like the building in real life is only like a couple of stories, but they make it look like it's huge. Mm-hmm. And it's like, as soon as I saw it, I was like, crap, I know exactly where that is. It's right Thompson Hall.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's just awesome. Little things like that are just cool.
Oh, yeah. I've been to Toronto once.
Excellent. How long ago?
I was 16.
A couple years ago.
Yeah, that was a few. almost 40 now.
Yeah, you're still a young puppy.
Yeah, still young. Well, I'm a young old man.
Yeah, well,
I'm young on the inside.
As I like to say, age is but a number. Fuck them.
Right.
And I won't say anything more than that because there's no point necessary.
Yes, I would probably have a lot to say about that if I was drinking at the moment, but
okay.
But since I am not,
all right.
I'm not looking for encouragement to drink or anything.
Heaven forbid. No. I do not neither in any way, shape, or form support or endorse over drinking or smoking. You can smoke weed. I don't care about that because that stuff is usually semi-natural. It's the cigarettes with all the crap that they put in it to preserve it. I don't agree with that shit.
And watching somebody you care about try to quit smoking is a very awful thing.
Yes.
Yep. Sad to say, but it is.
And seeing somebody pass away from it is even worse.
Oh, yes, I have that experience too, I'm sad to say.
So did I.
Yeah.
But we'll move away from those depressing thoughts.
We're not here to pick on smokers.
I'll pick on smokers all the time.
Yes. Oh, you do?
I have absolutely no problem with it. I know it kills people. And it's like, why do you keep smoking? You're in a pandemic where the whole thing is it's respiratory. Your cigarettes are actually making it harder for you to breathe. But we'll leave the rest of that down because that's a whole different can of worms to open up that I'm not going to get into right now because I could talk a lot about that.
Yes.
I had a thought. Oh, I went away. Now I came back. Do you listen? I know you post every once in a while on Facebook for music stuff and that. Do you use music as an incentive for inspiration and whatever in writing and stuff?
I have been doing that from the beginning. Music has been intertwined with books for me since I was sixth grade or so. Back then, I was just reading and I'd hear Fleetwood Mac come on or something, and it would just be great. I was happy as a lark. But when I wrote my first short story when I was in sixth grade, by the way, it would be many years later before I'd ever complete writing a novel, but, I was doing that. But the kind of music that I listen to most of the time though, doesn't have singing in it. when I'm writing, because that'll distract me. But a lot of ambient music or movie soundtracks, game soundtracks, those are all things that can put you in the right mood for what you're writing.
I have a musical suggestion for you.
Okay.
Midnight Syndicate.
Midnight Syndicate.
Mostly what he was doing before is he was doing soundtracks for horror movies and stuff. But yeah. Now he started doing full-on regular albums and stuff.
Oh, all right.
And EV, by the way, suggests you watch American Horror Story.
Oh, I have. I've seen all but maybe the last season.
Okay. I have yet to watch anything except the last episode of the first season.
Yes. Well, there are certain seasons I enjoyed more than others.
I've heard that from many people.
Yes. The first one in the mansion was really great.
Like I said, the unfortunate thing that colored it badly for me was, like, I saw the last episode of the first season, and it's like, what the hell? And I was like, I couldn't get back into it.
Yeah, that's too bad.
I'll get back into it, because I know that all the seasons are not the same. It's not a continuous story. It's bits and stories.
But they are connected.
They are connected, yes, because everything in life really is.
Yes.
But if you like werewolves, the show The Order, which I just finished watching yesterday, is actually pretty good.
I have never wrote a werewolf story. I started to with Tim Long years ago, and then we just never did it.
What about Lovecraftian stories?
I enjoy those also.
With Leave It to Beaver.
Yes.
We got to put that out sometime.
We had a lot of fun with that, didn't we? Yeah. Did you see any of it?
I probably have it all saved somewhere.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, no,
we were getting crazy.
I never throw any of that stuff away.
Yeah, I'll Leave It to Beaver with...
Cthulhu meets Beaver. Hey, Beav, die, scum!
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah. I don't remember anything in the series that we did. Yeah. I just remember Beaver, Wally. Who was the snarky kid that was the bad one? Lumpy. No, the other guy too. The mean one.
Eddie Haskell.
Eddie Haskell, that's it.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was just fun imagining that going on. That kind of crossover there.
Yeah, because, I mean, basically speaking, you could cross over anything if you really try hard enough.
Well, Jerry Mathers is still alive, too. Maybe we could bring him back. Yes, he is. You know?
Wally's gone.
Is he? Tony down?
I think Eddie's gone.
Eddie's dead. Yeah, I remember seeing that. I never heard
Not Tony to be confused with the song. That was Freddy's Dead. 70s song. Don't worry. Like I said, I squirrel. I squirrel a lot. That's why I have this microphone. I can squirrel anytime I want, as much as I want. Ha ha! So what kind of music? In the instrumental, so it's like, are we talking heavy metal? By the way, have you ever heard of a band called The Who? Not The Who as in Dalton and whatever.
Yeah,
The Mongolian throat metal band.
I have not.
You should give them a shot.
I don't know anything about them, but I might have heard one song by them.
Well, there's the one song that's been playing. It's been circulated a lot.
Something called The Who, but not the 70s group. But I've listened to some of the more the ambient groups I was talking about. There's a guy named Altus. That's not his name, but this group's name. And there's some great music in there. There's a guy named Numina, or group named Numina. Most of them are single people. Steve Roach, Harold Budd. I'm going to miss somebody big.
Absolutely.
By the way, anybody that wants, I've got a fan page. I got a Facebook page. If you want to connect with me on there, please feel free. I'm nowhere near 5,000 friends on Facebook, so there's no way. Carbon-based Life Forms has a lot of cool stuff.
Oh, that's
if
a band.
You
okay.
Like sci-fi themed music. They're great. I just discovered him last year.
Mike Oldfield, if you've ever heard of him.
I've heard of him, but I don't know that I'm familiar with his music.
Well, the big song he ever had was called Tubular Bells.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so he's basically, he plays 51 different instruments on this album. He plays all of them. It takes the entire Royal Philharmonic Orchestra to duplicate live what he did in session.
That's amazing.
It's awesome music, but he's trippy, man. He's like out there in left field.
Yeah. But, you know, that some of that stuff is what just you'll lead you to a place you didn't expect. And
do you ever do the U2 rabbit hole thing? Start with one song and then see where it gets you?
Just let them take you somewhere. That happens a lot. I actually am guilty of quite often I'll listen to YouTube and next thing you know, that's all I've done for the last 2 or 3 hours, just sitting there listening to music.
Yes, I get stuck on the accident videos and blooper reels.
Yeah. It's mostly music for me, but I've looked up Sam Kennison and listened to his routines, for example, and that was pretty fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So, actually, one of the main questions I used to ask all the time was, how do people connect with you? It's like, well, we can only do that in social media nowadays, can't we?
Yeah, until we can go to conventions again. But
which is looking like next fall.
Oh, yeah.
Possibly. In America, I don't know what it's going to work out to. But in Canada, I'm pretty sure that by around that time, we'll start seeing things again. Even the big shows in summer, I'm pretty thinking, yeah, now there are going to be a lot of people going to them, but they're going to start.
Yeah. Well, I really like meeting fans and meeting new people, and I'm not shy. I was once many years ago, but not anymore.
That's good. You can't be pushing a popular thing if you can't be out there.
Yeah, and it's fun to do readings, you know, and I don't mind reading other people's work. I was lucky enough to read David Dunwoody's a couple times.
Nice.
Because he, wasn't comfortable and, or, you know, well, I won't go into that. But anyway, yeah, I was helping him out.
And, whatever.
Yeah, I was glad to do it. And for me to have got to that point was amazing, because at one point I would shake and start sweating and,
I can relate to that, because there was a time when I did that as well. It's like, what the hell? They want me to perform like a monkey? I can't do that. What? 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 And then I started saying, eek. It's like, oh, I can perform like a monkey. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think people are missing out if they haven't, you know, heard your poetry spoken by you, you know?
Ooh. Actually, one of the coolest things I ever got into was I was on a panel with another gentleman whose name is totally escaping me at this point, and we were supposed to read a bit from our books, and he said, ah, screw it, I'll take your book, you take my book, I'll read part of yours, you read part of mine. It's like, okay.
Yeah, that's a pretty neat idea.
That was like interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. I've been writing some poetry, by the way.
Excellent.
Well, you know, theoretically it's called poetry now. How good it is, you know.
Well, I try to compare mine to the first sets of poetry that I read when I was a wee feller. I was like, it's never going to compare, because my introduction to poetry was things like Dante and, of course, Shakespeare and everything else. It's like, one of these days I'm going to write one like that. One of these days.
Well, yours is... Gosh, I'm gonna need to reread some, and I'll post my my thoughts, because I am an English literature major. I have a bachelor's, and I read a lot of poetry in college, and tried to interpret it. So at least it gave me something, you know. There, and I'm kind of glad. Because poets say so much with far less words, and
yeah,
it's very focused, you know.
I've always said about it is that poetry is about evoking a feeling more than trying to make you understand something.
Right, right. Yeah, like you can inflame someone, or you can, it usually does, if it's well done, it evokes something out of you, whether it's sorrow or
happy, anger, or sad.
Happiness. Yeah, all that. Yeah, horror.
Ooh, the horror.
Yeah.
Oh, crap. I had a thought and then it went away. Oh, yes, I have to share a thing.
Okay.
Because this amused the shit out of me. The other day when I realized it was happening. So all the news people now seem to love this word efficacy. And it's like, because they're talking about vaccines and everything like that. Okay. And it's like every single one of them has practiced the proper pronunciation of that word, efficacy. I was like, how many times did you practice that word? And did you actually know what that word meant before you heard somebody else say it? And I'm like, this just makes me laugh and giggle like you wouldn't believe. Because for the next few weeks, that word will be in every single news segment that talks about vaccines. And then it'll just change to something else. I was like, you guys are pretty predictable. But I love the word. Like, I like any big word. It's just, I like big words. And I cannot lie.
Yeah. Well, I was a little kid, and I would read the dictionary for fun, and so I knew the meaning of
I
all
did
these
too.
Words, but then I never knew how to say them. You know, I can remember embarrassing myself once saying detente, it's detente, you know. But I would know the meaning, but I just didn't know how to say it. So that's funny you bring that up about, did you say efficacy? Is that how you say it?
Yeah, efficacy.
Efficacy, okay.
And it's basically the same as efficiency, but it means being effective.
Yes, and it lends an air of
scientific pronouncements.
Yes, we are authorities on this subject because of we're using words that no one understands.
Which is a load of crap because I know every single word in the English language. And I am not joking.
I wouldn't dare to argue with you, sir.
Well, I wouldn't argue with
well,
me
maybe
because...
Would. Maybe I would.
Well, yeah. I don't mind arguing. I have a heated discussions with people sometimes. It's all good. As long as at the end of it, you know, there's no fisticuffs.
Right, right.
Or hurt feelings.
Right.
Or well, llamas.
Even, as far as I know, you even forgave me for Elk Stones in Canada, you know?
Oh, Elk I had Stones no problem with that whatsoever. I've heard way worse stuff.
Yeah, I don't know how many people get that one, though.
Well, first, you got to know what an elk is.
Yeah.
And second, you got to know Canada's a really big country.
It is.
Hmm? I know. I live here.
Yes.
Okay.
I will not make any Canada jokes now, though.
You can make as many Canada jokes as you want, because I can always come back to one big American joke.
And you're dying to slap me with it. I know you are.
No, I'm not. I don't believe that's necessary.
I can live with that. Because you know what? We're all Americans. North Americans, South Americans, Central Americans. We all are.
Okay.
Remember
we can go
that.
With that.
Yeah.
Just remember, Canada's taking over.
Well.
Oh, sorry, I'm taking over.
Yeah. All right. It would be interesting to see you lead.
It would be a completely different world. I can guarantee you that.
Mm.
There would be a lot of changes. I have made mention of these changes sometimes because I actually had one episode where I did say I would I would do a thing.
Yeah?
I would do many things, actually. There would be a lot of things that would be, oh, you know what? You can't do that anymore. Why not? Because I don't like it. Oh. Somebody's mentioned. Have you seen a show called Love, Death, Robots?
I have. And I actually did enjoy that. Some of those. I don't know if I
Somebody just made reference to the yogurt one. I love that episode. It was stupid, but funny.
Yeah, I know that I watched the whole thing and I enjoyed quite a few of them.
That sound, by the way, the crack, that was my shoulder going pop.
Oh, okay. Feel
interesting.
Better?
Oh yeah, no, it was good. I stretched and it's like, oh, I heard that. Okay, so how do people find you on social medias? You mentioned Facebook.
Yes.
I know you have a Twitter. I know you have a Twitter because I tagged you when I posted it on Twitter.
Yeah.
So I saw your Twitter.
I'm guilty of not really using that medium.
I gathered that when I saw that.
Yeah, I need to check that out better.
I followed you, so now you have a follower.
Okay, I appreciate that. I've got a thing on Amazon, of course, for my author page. I'm on Goodreads. I'm on Facebook. Facebook's the easiest place probably to find me. I'm more active there.
Do you still have a MySpace?
I'm sorry?
Do you still have a MySpace?
I probably still have one, yes, but I haven't been there in years.
Yeah, it's okay. Most people haven't, unless they're musicians.
Probably pretty dorked up by now, you know.
No, it's actually very slick. It's actually really slick.
Oh, I meant my page on there.
Oh, well, it's probably been slicked up as well because by association they would have trimmed off all the stuff that doesn't fit. And but last time I went into my MySpace, I lost 150 people or whatever, but that's because they killed those accounts and stuff. So I don't know. I didn't really bother wasting my time on it because it's music stuff, and as much as I like music, I'm not trying to sell music.
No.
Yes.
But it is always good to plug musicians that you enjoy.
Yes.
I do try to do that as often as I do plug other people's books. And of course, I worked in a bookstore when I was like 17. And oh man, I was having the time of my life showing people great books and That was pretty cool.
I can totally relate to that because that's what I have a comic shop. So,
oh, you do?
Yeah. So I do that.
I don't know if you told me that before or not, but that's really cool.
Yeah, it's one leg of my world domination plan going on.
Well, if I ever make it back to Canada, I'll have to visit there.
Well, as long as we're not still in lockdown, because we're in lockdown right now.
Yeah, you're shut down.
Well. Except for essential.
Yeah.
The good thing is my job is considered essential, so I'm still working.
Yeah.
But the shop is closed.
Except
it's closed to curbside, so it's all good.
Yeah.
The world will continue rolling on.
All the businesses closing down and stuff, though.
Yeah.
It's killing me.
Big cities like Toronto, we have restaurants and smaller chains and whatever else. They're having a rough time. I support all of my favorites because that's how I normally eat. Is I eat out. I don't make food.
Hmm. You make cookies probably, right?
No, I buy cookies.
Oh, you buy cookies.
I have a job, so I can buy food. I don't want to make food. That's work. Ugh.
Yeah.
So, on that merry note, we are basically at the end of the show, and I just wanted to say, Stephen A. North. By the way, do you always use Stephen A. North?
I've only wrote under that name. There might have been a few things that are no longer in existence under a different name on Amazon, but...
Well, if it's no longer in existence, who cares?
That's true. Nobody can prove anything.
Well, one quick final question from Evie in the chat room. Marvel or DC, and do you actually read any comic books?
I was a great comic book reader when I was young. Kind of transitioned away from them when books really got their hooks into me. But I do give I've got like a couple of the Walking Dead compendiums.
Aha, so Image.
Yes. Marvel or DC? Boy, that's tough because I liked quite a few different story lines in both characters. But I hope I don't lose Evie on this. I probably lean a little more towards DC.
Oh,
just because,
man.
Well, I liked Batman and I liked Sergeant Rock and I liked GI Combat. But you
done
know,
by
the
intimidable Joe Kubert.
Joe Kubert.
Yeah, he was the artist.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Of, not the Batman, of the Sergeant Rock and the war ones.
Yeah. But I, you know, Marvel's been doing some great things, and I've really enjoyed a lot of the movies, and so I don't have a closed mind. And it's not
okay.
Like, it's
she's
not
a
like,
DC fan.
Okay. Oh, great, great.
Okay. So it's all good.
Yeah.
And on that merry note, we will wrap up. Stephen A. North, people in Sessions, and everybody else out there in the world of war. Sorry, not the world of war, because that would be World War Z, and that was a movie that was actually quite fun.
Yes.
Everybody out there, thanks for showing up. Stephen, thank you for showing up again.
Thank you, Bill. It was wonderful to speak with you again, and I enjoyed the questions and an interaction with your fans. So
always a pant load of fun.
Yes.
Have yourselves an amazing after rotten good time. Be well, be happy, be well and good and happy. And I'll say that three more times and then Candyman will show up and oh, there's the button. And we will say have fun because everything else is secondary.
If you go down in the woods today, you're sure of a big surprise. If you go down in the woods today, you'd better go in disguise. For every bear that ever there was will gather there for certain, because today's the day that teddy bears have their picnic.